Captain's Log, Rebels Season 1, Episode 7, Star Wars Into Darkness.
Oh.
Wrong series.
Oh, sorry. Star Wars Out of Darkness.
Oh, I see what you did there. And we have arrived at our destination. That destination is a podcast. That's right. It's us. We're the Total Rewatch crew. We've been totally rewatching all of Star Wars in release order.
We have been.
Yeah, but we're in Rebels.
Season 1, Episode 7. So join on in, kick your feet back, and relax, and listen to us, I don't know, waffle about this episode for a little bit. Hera and Sabine have to go pick up some supplies from Fulcrum. Which is, I think, the first time we've heard about Fulcrum. And they get stranded on the abandoned base that they were picking up the stuff and get attacked by wild animals. And then they get rescued. The end.
I don't feel like I'm going to have an awful lot to say about this one because that essentially what you just said is what happens.
Yes.
I feel like this is all that they do in this show. They go transport small crates of stuff.
I mean, that's 90% of Star Wars, you know, it's just like real life, but in space.
It's a living.
For a package, yeah. You know.
It's a living.
There's a delivery driver, like Futurama.
Yes, there you go.
There's some action scenes in the beginning here with the Harris piloting the Phantom around, dodging all sorts of TIE fighters, and while Sabine and Ezra sit on either side and make comments that have absolutely no helpful quantities whatsoever. They sit there and they're like, look out! Oh! They're backseat driving the whole time.
They're not even in the backseat, though. They're just standing next to her.
Yes. Ezra literally interrupts her and says, would you please stop being distracted by us and focus on us not dying? But the whole point of this chase is that during the engagement, they damage the Phantom and cause a rupture of the fuel line to cause a leak.
Oh, no.
Will that come into play later? We'll find out.
And the other kind of overarching theme, sort of, in this episode is that Sabine is all annoyed because she doesn't know Fulcrum's secret identity.
And neither do we, the audience, at this stage.
Like, why don't you trust me enough to tell me who's this Fulcrum agent? And Hera's like, we're trying to compartmentalize. We're not supposed to be telling everybody who these people are so that if you get captured, you can't give them up.
Right. So it's like basic spy stuff, rebel stuff.
Seriously.
Yes, of course you divide the information among people. Like, you don't tell everybody everything. But that's what you get when none of these people are, like, professional rebels. Right, or professional spies, they just kind of happen to band together.
Yes.
So I understand Sabine not really like being 100% on board with that whole thing.
She just doesn't like being out of the loop, you know?
Yeah. She's like, you know, you keep telling me to just trust you and that I don't need to know. That was just like when I was in the Empire. Oh, that's what they would tell me all the time.
She was in the Empire?
She was at the Academy.
Oh, my.
She's like, you guys are just like the Empire because you won't tell me the secret identity of your spy.
That's exactly the kind of thing an empire would do.
But, I mean, Fulcrum's a pretty cool spy name, in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
What other ones could there be? The hypotenuse?
Yeah, other tools, right? Lever.
The lever.
High on potenuse.
Oh, that's what's really going on here. Yeah. So Cody and I have seen this entire series. Daniel has not, first time through here. So we can't tell you who Fulcrum is either.
Oh. Good.
But
sworn to secrecy.
You're just gonna have to trust us, okay, Daniel, okay?
No, I already looked up the Wikipedia article.
What?
And I know everything there is to know.
Did you really? That's not the way to watch the show.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean to. Cody said the name and I was like, what's that? Now I know.
These are the perils of watching a show 10 years late. All right, well, if any audience members out there don't know, you're just going to have to trust us.
Don't worry, I won't say a word. I'm loyal. I'm a loyal rebel.
You won't talk?
You know, the Empire can make anybody talk.
Exactly. So Zeb and Ezra are supposed to be fixing up the Phantom and getting it ready to go, but they get distracted fighting amongst themselves and chasing Chopper around, so they don't actually finish the diagnostics, which would say that there's a fuel line.
Well, no, they finish the diagnostics. They just don't bother to look at results are.
They just don't look at the results.
Like, what is even the point of doing it?
They know there's a problem, and they just don't fix anything?
No, they don't. They're just doing the standard diagnostic, and they just, like, get distracted fighting with each other because they're a bunch of little kids.
Wow.
Yep.
These are their terrible crewmates.
Yeah. Zoom in on the screen showing us there's a problem, and they're right. They're off and running.
They are little kids. They're like, I don't want to do it.
I feel like there's been a few episodes now that really paint those guys as the kids, with Hera and Kanan as the mom and dad.
Yeah,
we have to keep everybody else in line.
Right.
So Hera and Sabine depart on the Phantom. Which, again, the Phantom is a tiny little capsule ship, a wedge ship, basically, that docks onto their main ship, the Ghost.
What was that in Star Trek? The away ship?
Yeah, they're the shuttle pods.
They call it that, though?
Speaking of Star Trek again.
Yeah, for the away team.
That's right. On the away missions.
Oh, my goodness. The ship is leaking.
Yeah, well, because there is a problem with it, which... looking at it, diagnostic results would have told them.
How are they going to get back?
So they are at Fort Anaxis, which is on an old asteroid. It's a remnant of an old Republic base during the Clone Wars.
Interesting.
Yeah, I noticed they said it was a base. What is this a place we ever saw in the Clone Wars?
It will be, apparently. Yes, we will see it in Season 7.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to have to file this one away, then. I'm trying to remember that.
Season 7, because we haven't watched that series.
Well, it hasn't been made yet. We're living in 2014 here.
Yeah.
I think somebody who's just getting into Star Wars for the first time now would be so confused about when anything takes place.
Oh, yeah. I don't even understand, because there's an actual, like, dating system. You know?
Yeah, ABY and BBY.
I don't.
And BB-8.
Who's dating who? You know, will they, won't they?
Dating
Ezra and Sabine.
Oh, boy.
Right.
So Sabine and Hera are just loading up cargo into their little Phantom pod. But it's inhabited by giant cat things.
Those creatures are called Fyrnox.
Fyrnox or Fyrnox?
Fyrnox. F-Y-R.
They're silicone-based creatures.
Ooh. Silicon.
But they are scared of sun, or they burn. Their vampire rules are in effect.
Well, it's essentially, have you seen the movie Pitch Black?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that's the crossover.
The creatures only come out when it's dark, which you'd think would give you a full, you know, day of time to work, but... not when there are hundreds and thousands of asteroids in the atmosphere. Because you get a real big one, and then suddenly the monsters are after you for an hour.
Right.
So they manage to, like, fight them off during a small asteroid, and then they see a really big one coming that way and realize we might not be able to keep away from them until that thing passes the sun.
Yep.
Which is actually a pretty cool idea. I like that concept, I think. I feel like it's an idea that you've seen before, like stuff that only comes out at night, you know,
mm-hmm.
But this is a way of sort of randomizing when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
At the convenience of the plot.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, not completely random.
They signal for help to the Ghost, and then they set up a whole bunch of explosive barrels, which are red, just as explosive barrels have to be. Video game logic.
Well, you know they explode. Yeah,
they set up traps and fallback points, and then they... fight off the massive waves.
And don't they even talk about, like, I don't know if we can hold off the next wave? I think they use that word.
This Wikipedia summary says, back on the Ghost, Zeb is settling down to a meal of space waffles when Ezra enters.
Space waffles.
That's what, on Wikipedia, huh?
Yeah.
I love that that's the official name for what he was eating.
That's
there.
Good, because I'm going to be using that quite a lot.
Space waffles. I noticed him eating... what I thought were just regular waffles, but now I know. They were space waffles.
They were in space, so I mean...
But see, when you're in space, don't you have to call everything? So let me just call you on my space phone.
Exactly.
Invite you over for some space waffles.
Apparently, the space waffles are in several seasons of Rebels.
They're in a lot of, a lot of Star Wars, apparently.
Really?
They were apparently on the shopping list in the Fighter Flight episode.
But did it say Space Waffles on the list?
Apparently.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to keep a close eye out for that next time they're eating something.
Old Joho's Pit Stop serves them with Mooja sauce topping.
Ooh. So
keep an eye out next time you're there.
I'm going to start calling everything I eat. I'm just going to prefix Earth in front of it. Well, I mean, that's where we are. We gotta make sure we identify it as such.
Yep. Can't be using the space restroom. Gotta use the Earth restroom.
Using the Earth, the Earth one. Just like I'm talking to you on my Earth microphone right now.
Nice.
A space microphone? Not in space.
This ain't no space podcast.
Although I'm using a space heater right now.
Oh, the space heater.
I don't know where this came
Didn't
from.
Didn't we talk about that before?
Heating up space.
Yeah, he heats up space.
Not very effective in space, ironically.
So the ghost crew shows up to save our intrepid duo. And Ezra, of course, has to go and use his stupid little...
Still using slingshot. The slingshot. Still thinks it's going to do anything.
It kind of works here.
Barely.
Not very well. It's really bad.
Anything would work better than that.
Seriously.
It's consistently terrible. Do they have to leave the Fanta behind?
No. The shuttle? We're going to leave the Fanta behind.
They have to leave it behind? This is a tragic tale.
It's the last we ever see of the Phantom again.
Oh, no.
Is it really?
No. They get it back.
Do they get it back in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose once the sun comes out again, they'd be free to pretty much.
Oh, that's true.
They basically just lower down, and there's another docking station or clamp or something. I don't know. They just clamp, pick it up.
I don't think it's meant to do that.
They just clamp it. I wish I'd been making Beverly Hillbillies references throughout so I could say they just reach down and clamp it.
Yes.
I didn't set that up well enough.
There's no lead up.
No. Next time they clamp something, I'm gonna have to prepare.
Very funny. Even in isolation, a good one. So, Rhydonium has shown up many times.
Oh, yes. It is quite explosive.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where I'd heard of that before. Any place notable or just...
Was that the episode with the droids after leaving McGregor behind? They get on the Republic starship?
Yes, the one when they're stuck on that desert planet.
Oh, that guy.
Did you say McGregor?
Isn't that McGregor, the clone commando?
Just Gregor.
Oh, just Gregor.
Gregor, yeah.
Yeah, what's the next one? I don't have a list in front of me.
Well, tune in next time. We'll be watching Season 1, Episode 8, Empire Day.
Oh, Empire Day.
That's right, they have holidays.
That's the best day.
Yeah, if you're in the Empire.
Well, we wish you all a very Merry Empire Day.
Do we want to wish people a good Merry Empire Day?
Sure.
And a Happy Life Day.
Yeah.
Happy Life Day.
We'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Put your wrap.